coming back from Mexico and England to play one game of football brings you.
Who was in Mexico and England?
Uli and Gary Hooper.
Oh, so not both Mexico and England. I see. What you, I understand. Because
you'd need really long legs to have a foot in both.
That would play really hell with the quarantine requirements.
Really long legs brings you.
Long pins brings you.
There we go. Yeah.
That's the intro. All of that. Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. It's game day week, everybody. How exciting.
Do we really think we're actually going to play?
Yes.
Game singular day.
Game week. One day, one night. Good. Football.
You're really selling it, Pat.
I'm trying really hard because it is exciting that we have football on Friday night.
Yep.
Put everything else aside that's happened this week. We get to watch the Phoenix play Sydney FC on Friday night.
Well, I think I'll put aside everything that's happened for the last few months, to be honest. But yeah, not just this week.
But no matter what happens, we get football on Friday. Cam is here. How you doing, Cam?
I'm very well, thank you.
Ella is here as well.
Hello, hello.
And Frosty is here as well.
I am.
There we go. We have four of us at the table talking about some actual football. But before we get there, we do need to address all the stuff that means that the season might not actually finish.
All the things.
All the things.
The sneezing elephant in the room.
Sneezing? Yes. Oh, because that's a joke coughing, about a pandemic, right? I see. Yeah.
But yeah, sneezing isn't going? A symptom of COVID-19. Is that the influenza pandemic that they're saying could be a thing?
Well, who knows? It's an elephant. I'm not a biologist.
High level of fact checking here on Phoenix City, which I am super on board with. So last week we talked about how Victoria was becoming a problematic area for the not influenza, for COVID-19, and that they're having to try and work out a solution to it. Helpfully, between us recording the podcast and us releasing the podcast, they fixed that situation and got an exemption for those teams to travel from Victoria into New South Wales, which they have now done. I believe that every player and staff member had to return a negative COVID test before any of them could go, and they all did that. So they have moved into their hubs and started their 2 weeks in their hub. The Phoenix are continuing to train over there, but the situation in New South Wales is also becoming more problematic, is not the word I really want to use, but problematic for continuing the league.
Shit sandwich is the word you want to use.
That's two words.
It's hyphenated.
Okay.
I was waiting
Stop
for that.
Stop being pedantic. Come on.
There we go. Crusty is on fire tonight.
Crusty is on fire tonight.
Olden Crusty.
Yeah. We did have jokes about his age before we started recording the podcast. So, so that's the current situation, which means that if it does continue to get worse in New South Wales, there is a high likelihood that the season won't finish. Thoughts from anybody on anything? Hit me.
So I'm obviously very excited about the prospect of having a game this Friday, but I genuinely don't know if this is going to be the only game played. Looking at the developments in just the last 2 days, where was it the New South Wales have found a particular site which has got transmission. I think it was a pub. That's got community transmission. They have now, they're getting in the teens, they're back up to having in the teens every day for new cases. And Queensland have banned people from 77 Sydney suburbs from travelling to Queensland because they are considered to be in a high risk kind of area in New South Wales. So, and that's just the last 2 days, right? That's huge. And the fact that we've got 3 days to go until the game actually kicks off, we don't have confirmation of any of the other fixtures going ahead, which is mind-boggling, to be fair. I mean, to be fair, when we get to the match and we talk about the computation of, you know, what could happen with the league after that match, fine. But the fact they've got three more days to go until that game kicks off, and the fact that COVID changes everything so fast. And we saw that when we went into lockdown within a few days, you know, the same thing could very easily happen in New South Wales now that it's starting to move back up again. So it's concerning.
Yeah, but it just feels like it's the grand finale for the FFA. Just like they've gone this whole Krusty the Clown routine, and now it's kind of like, yeah, ramped it up.
Frosty the Clown.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks.
Frosty the Frown.
There we go. Yeah, it does. But at this point, I think I saw that the NRL and the AFL looking to move AFL are looking to move, or at least looking at the option of moving to Queensland. Obviously, the fact that they're all basing out of New South Wales at the moment, and there's that you would require some sort of exemption with those suburb limitations, and then probably another 2 weeks.
Well, see, here's a good point about that 2 weeks, mate. They don't have 2 weeks.
That's what I was about to make that point as well.
Yeah, was it 30th of August?
Yeah, the season has to wrap because of the extended collective bargaining agreement with the PFA.
Yeah.
Ends on the 30th. So it has to be done by then. So there isn't another 2 weeks. They can't come to New Zealand. They'll lose time.
They'll lose 2 weeks coming here. They'll lose 2 weeks going to Brisbane. They've got the grand final's already scheduled for the 29th to allow the 2 weeks for Western United as a minimum.
Yeah.
Victory and City will be fine because they have that one less game, so they should be okay.
Fewer. We're being pedantic tonight, apparently.
Yeah.
You got him before me. Normally I get you with that.
Oh, very good.
So they've got one less game to play, and if they can't get it in by – basically, if they don't kick off this weekend, it's done. If they don't get enough games in by the end of this weekend, it's done. So, yeah, it's a real massive concern that – whilst they've got all the good intentions in the world and everything's in place, I don't think that everything's beyond their control. They don't control the situation at all, you know. I've seen reports of A-League players having wandered around Sydney from people in Sydney saying they've seen these people in normal everyday life. So the fact that they're not isolating, whether they need to or not, they're not in their own bubbles and keeping themselves away from all that other stuff, just opening themselves up for every chance of, you know, community transmission, and once one player gets it, the league is screwed.
Okay.
Just kind of makes you think, though, like just thinking, you know, in terms of other competitions that are going on at the moment, because obviously the NWSL in the States, the Women's League over there, that's been happening, and they've had, obviously had to compress their competition because of COVID. A team's had to pull out, Ali Riley's team, the Orlando Pride, but they've, you know, to be able to have any kind of competition, they ended up just going to a, you know, all the teams going into a bubble and basing in one city and all that kind of thing. And you kind of think, obviously, the situation with the A-League was different partway through the season and that kind of thing, and the money side of things was different. But if there was anything, any kind of possibility of a bit more like forethought or a bit more sort of long-term, longish-term thinking, if we'd been able to set up some kind of similar scenario to get the season finished, it would just be a different story completely. But obviously with having, you know, the Fox contract issue, and probably, you know, the FFA has been having a lot of other stuff on its plate at the moment and working with reduced staff, that obviously doesn't help either. But
so if Ellie Riley's team isn't playing, why was she getting that swab? Because she videotaped it and put it up. Horrific.
Probably just that's for awful. Like general health reasons.
No, she's in Sweden now. She's gone back to FC Rosenberg. So that just got announced today.
Right.
So it could have been in Sweden that she got the swab, or it could have been a video from a little while ago. It looked awful.
About 8 inches long and 6 inches just of swab disappears up her nose and stays there while this guy twiddles it.
Yeah.
That's how they do it, man. It's just awful.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you could see the bump out the back of her head. It was horrible. Yeah.
I mean, the professional sportsmen in all these leagues that are having that every 3 days.
It'd be interesting to see what the research is that comes out on, like, the effects of being swabbed that many times, like, because it looks so invasive and
so painful.
You've got to think there's got to be an effect somewhere.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. Just,
sterile equipment, surely.
Yeah, but it's still rubbing up your cavities.
Good.
It's the word.
Yeah, but
it's just that I said it and you just
It's because you said something before it. That's the whole phrase.
Yeah.
Only the best.
We need a little edit here.
Only the best.
Roll with it. Come on.
Health analysis here on Phoenix City for you.
Innuendo.
But one of the options would be to move everybody right now to Queensland, and set up that base of every single team is in Queensland. But given that they've currently
just don't have time.
Exactly.
At
that's the problem.
At this point, they just can't do anything. Yeah. They've just got to hope that they can get enough games in to get in, you know, at least a winner of the league.
They move all the teams into Sydney Football Stadium, put up tents, and just don't let them out.
Sydney I mean, that could be cute.
Well, you know, where Sydney Football Stadium is.
Yeah. Sydney Football Stadium is a tent currently. Yeah. But
well, there's room.
So yeah, and all that's been said so far, like you pointed out, Cam, is that the A-League will start on Friday night, and it will be Sydney FC versus the Phoenix, which it's been quite nice and refreshing to see labelled everywhere as a blockbuster. The Phoenix are involved in a blockbuster.
Well, we are effectively the second best team.
Yeah.
And if you take out the first four games of the season, our record equals Sydney. So we are equally as good as them. Difference being they score more goals than we do.
Yeah.
That's it.
But a win's a win.
Yeah.
But one of the other factors that makes it a blockbuster is that neither Sydney nor us, I believe, have lost any players.
No, we're the only two teams that haven't.
Yeah. Whereas every other club has been hemorrhaging players left, right and centre. I think the Wanderers are down to 18 or something like that.
We're down to 17, but I do know they've signed someone, I believe, from...
Is it a keeper or is it Adelaide?
No, Western Sydney Wanderers have signed a keeper from the NPL.
Yeah, Prendergast. So he definitely wasn't in a professional environment. It did. He came through from unattached, which probably says he was playing semi-pro in the NPL.
Yeah.
He certainly wouldn't have been playing in the VPL because he couldn't get out of Victoria.
But that's still a major problem when it's like your 18th player is your second keeper.
It's their third keeper because Lopar is the player that they've lost. Lopar was their star goalkeeper this season, their star player this season for them, and he's not there. So the fact that he's not there, that means their reserve goalkeeper is coming in to be their prime, and this guy is their backup.
I was more meaning that they've only got two keepers, but when you've only got 18 players, two keepers is almost a luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other big losses, I mean, there's a big long list that you've sent us, but...
Toivonen, obviously.
Ola Toivonen gone from Victory, although they're not really in it anymore.
Diego Castro from Perth.
Yep, that was announced today, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Kone from West United, their marquee, gone.
It was again Perth today.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all about
That's very dollars, late.
Apparently.
Right, okay.
There was the Spanish guy from...
Yeah, Markel Sueta.
Sueta.
Something cool.
We're all making good stabs at it, to be fair.
To be fair to them, he only came in the January transfer window to City, so it's not like they've lost him from their whole season setup, but they brought him in for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So every club has lost 2, 3, 4 players and not a whole lot coming in. I think the only one that I can see of someone coming in was that Prendergast coming in to Wanderers as a keeper. Although coaches as well. Robbie Fahler's gone. Do we know who's coaching the Roar yet? Have they announced that?
Their assistant is coaching, has been offered a 1-year deal beyond the end of the season.
And then he's got big reps on him though, so...
And then at Wanderers, that's McGee. That's not his real name. I keep forgetting that. Jean-Paul de Marigny has taken over there as head coach. Was he assistant before this?
Well, he's assistant. Western Sydney Wanderers are looking at announcing their new head coach in the next week. So if he's been announced, it's since I've read this on Twitter.
Okay.
So
Adelaide, have they announced...
They definitely lost.
They lost their coach.
No, they haven't announced yet. There was an ex-Socceroo apparently is the main person in that. I read that on Twitter this evening.
Yes. They've also lost Teresi.
Yeah.
Injury. Not sure how long though. That's, again, a big loss.
Massive block. To be honest, looking at everybody that is gone and the holes they are leaving in those squads – We need one win to guarantee in the top six, and that is against Adelaide. If we beat Adelaide, nothing else matters. We guarantee top six because they can't catch us.
Yeah.
Right? So outside that, we need to get beyond 40 points. I think Adelaide's on 27 points. They've got 5 games to go, which means they can achieve 42. But, yeah, we beat them, we'll be on 39, and the max they can get is 39, assuming they win the other games. So,
and they're playing out of – they're based in Adelaide still, aren't they?
they are at the moment, I believe. Yeah. I believe that the Raw are in Queensland still, in Brisbane. And
it's not like they left a quarantine to go into New South Wales.
No, exactly. And Adelaide are in South Australia.
They might have to quarantine to go back.
To go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they were planning on going between the two. Was that the plan or was it not the plan?
I don't think they're playing any games in Queensland.
Okay. I thought the plan initially was that they would play games in Queensland and then come into the New South Wales hub to play those games.
Yeah, I thought they were going to play all their games in New South Wales. It's only Melbourne teams that were going to play their games there and then everything else was in Sydney.
I think that was
the fact that we just don't know.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
I think it's going to make the point is that this is probably why we don't know the rest of the draw.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it hasn't come out yet and it's because we've genuinely got no idea what's going on.
You know, we've genuinely got contingencies for every possible permutation of where the virus will pop up next.
Yeah. I would quite enjoy just tuning in to Sky Sport at 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday and finding out who's playing by just seeing who walks up.
Yeah. It's at the same ground. It's like the cameramen are already there. It's like, who is it? You're going to have a big build up.
Yeah.
Oh, the walkout is Adelaide.
Yeah. And then you realize it's the Jets versus the Mariners and you switch off. But,
I think, looking ahead, they're going to have to start doing double headers and they are going to have to start bubbling the teams, right? They're generally going to have to move everybody to one place and play across two grounds at most.
And that's if they want to finish the season, which I don't think obviously the Fox Sports contract requires that, but at this point, I just don't see that being realistic.
If they're not able to, it's not because they haven't tried. It's because they genuinely can't do it because government rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And the NRL are having this problem at the moment as well, where they're having to try and work out how to get all the teams in the same place. They have the advantage of a longer time to get their games finished. They can take another 2 weeks if they need to go somewhere, but the A-League can't. It brings us to the Sydney game. If Sydney beat the Phoenix, they claim the Premier's plate.
Yep.
You talked us through the maths before this, Cam, and they will have the Premier's plate. And at this point, that's enough to end the season on, I reckon.
Yeah. I'd agree.
You know who wins.
And at that point, there's nothing else to play for within the league. There's obviously no promotion, relegation or anything like that. So you're kind of thinking, well, it's just games purely to fulfill content requirements, which obviously is important. But if you can't get it in within the time, then done.
Do you reckon that the A-League have seen this in that new contract? They've put in a thing that if it gets cancelled by restrictions or government restrictions, they actually can't play it. Do you reckon that contract still stays valid? Or
force majeure, 100%. They've written in force majeure this time round.
Yeah,
guarantee. If they haven't, FFA need to be shot because you've been caught out by that. Yeah. It is the most prescient thing in your memory. If you haven't figured it out, you really shouldn't be in charge.
Yeah, totally agree.
So if they have done that, that becomes less of an issue. And you can play this one game on Friday. We might just get one game, but we get a game. It's the Phoenix, so very good.
Yes.
I think the Phoenix played a couple of games. To move on to the football side of things now. The Phoenix played a couple of games against two of the A-League teams. They played
Wanderers.
The Wanderers. I think first they played the Central Coast Mariners in a 30-minute half game. I haven't heard what the result of that Central Coast game was.
The 30-minute half
game? Yeah, 30-minute quarters.
30-minute quarters?
I don't know what the result of that.
Please never watch Mariners,
I think it was 1-0 to us.
1-0 to us.
I believe it was, yeah.
And then the Wanderers game was 3-0 to us. Yeah. Those highlights are up on the Phoenix social media channels if you want to see it. But two set pieces. I think it was a corner and a free kick. Just clinical.
I think all the goals came from down the right-hand side too, defeated by Fenton and Piscopo.
Yeah.
Finished by three different people.
Steinman, Sotirio, and
Devere. Yep, Devere was the header from the corner. And Steinman's was
Devere's was the Piscopo free kick that deflected off the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But they all looked very similar.
Yeah, yeah, but the Steinman goal was messy. It was a tap-in from a goalmouth scramble from across and from the right. So all of it was, that one was messy. But yeah, to be honest, it's what I'd expect from a team that's lost their main goalkeeper and, you know, been bereft of any stars in the 17 that they had.
Yeah.
They were all academy boys and just standing around just watching. It was horrible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the scoreline was a scoreline that we were putting through during the season. But given that there's been no football and our team probably not very match fit, to score goals the way that they were being scored, it was kind of indicative of what the bottom half of the table was going to look like when they come back, where they've been ravaged by players leaving. They have had coaching changes, all that kind of thing. and they would have to put something out on the field to fulfill contractual obligations rather than wanting to be there. And like this quality of goal, they're so simple. Like it's an unmarked man and a free kick. Like that's just schoolboy stuff.
It is. But they're playing schoolboys, right?
Oh, exactly. So, well, not necessarily schoolboys, but
they looked looked pretty junior, mate. They were wee boys compared to Devere.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone is a wee boy compared to Devere, though, right?
He's
half his size.
But yeah, I don't imagine that the quality of football we're going to see, if we see a lot of football, is going to be very high.
I think
be scratchy.
Honestly, I think the best game you're going to see is going to be the game on Friday night. It's actually a pity it's first up.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because if they'd each had another couple of 90 minutes under their belt, you might have a good game.
But I said this last week, I think, and I think it's good for us that it is first up.
Oh, yes, because Sydney's going to be scratchy and we've got a great chance of beating them.
Both teams are going to be scratchy. Agree. Yeah.
Depends what you want. If you want quality of football and good content, or do you want to win? So
I want to win.
Yeah.
Yep. Every day, take the W.
Yep.
Because the frustrating part of all of this is the best shot we've ever had at winning the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's Phoenix.
To be fair, and I think the biggest issue now is looking forward, we've got a great chance next year because we've got such a good core of a squad. We've got some good coaching and we've got some good recruitment going on. Honestly, I think we've got a great shot next year if we even get a chance to play it.
How many players do we have that are not contracted for next year?
Oh, we've got 16 on the books.
Yeah.
So we've got seven.
Solid core.
Yeah.
The big gap is left back because we'll lose Libby.
Yeah.
He might not be there. He might, looking at reports this week, he may not be there by the end of this.
Yeah, they were suggesting
bubble.
Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium.
Which
and
is interesting.
What were those reports?
So there's reports coming out this week of interest in Libby Kakache from Belgium and one other European country.
It was somewhere weird, like Switzerland or something. Like.
No, I thought it was the Dutch, somewhere in. Somewhere in the Netherlands. So like the genuine interest in Libby Kakache, that would be before, like him over there before our season finishes.
Yeah.
Which is
well
because
Holland.
Their next season is they're basically going to roll straight into the next season, right? Mm. Like the EPL finishes in less than 2 weeks' time. They've already had a massive break in the middle, which was enforced, but they've had a massive break in the middle. They'll have a few weeks off and then they'll go straight into the next part of the next season, which will start late August, possibly early September.
That'll be crushing though, because I mean, the EPL season is long and compressed. And if you're playing the Champions League and everything,
you're assuming they're playing Europe yet. I genuinely don't believe they'll have any chance of playing European football this season.
But I mean, even if they don't play this year's Europe, there'll be next year. So you've got an existing EPL season in Europe and you're jamming the end of the current season on, so it's even longer.
And then you've got the Euros at the end of that.
I genuinely do not believe they'll be playing European football next year.
To bring it back closer to home, that's another consideration to try and want to play out some more games to work out who qualifies for the Asian Champions League.
Which isn't going to happen.
If that does happen.
Yeah.
You can't assume because otherwise it gives them no opportunities. Like if it turns out that it is going to get played, you can't turn around. There'll be lawsuits everywhere, lawyers climbing.
Yeah.
Yep. And they've already announced that the games will be played in hubs, I think, in China in October for the next one. Like, that's about to start.
Hub in Wuhan, by any chance?
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, genuinely, they have to go over and isolate for 2 weeks every time they travel for a game. It's just not feasible in the current climate for that to happen. And I understand there's loads of issues around broadcast deals and CBAs and all that kind of. All the kind of contractual things that have to happen to make football happen. But those things, to be honest, FIFA just needs to come in and help these guys make the decisions that matter for people's health.
In the end, I mean, I think that all the people involved just have to treat it the same way that we treat weather. You've just got to prepare as though it is going to happen, and then as soon as it says it's not, you kind of go, okay, well, that's fine, that's the way it rolls. There's no other choice.
So I tried to bring us back to football. You took us back to COVID-19 chaos.
This is what happens when we ramble, man.
But let's talk about a potential starting lineup for this game, because we are playing a game of football on Friday. Do you imagine it's going to look pretty similar to what trotted out against the Victory?
I think it's going to...
Only
no,
one change.
Actually, no.
It would just be
one change.
Payne.
Louis Fenton for Payne, yeah.
Yep.
And then you've got no reason to not have that lineup again.
Because everyone's trained as much as anyone else, so... Yep. It's just a question of who's going to run out of steam and you just sub them off.
Yep. So who's in that starting lineup? Because I didn't watch that game. So, I can't remember.
Mirnovic, and then Fenton, Taylor, De Vere, and Kakache. Mm-hmm. In front of them would be Steinman and Cammy Devlin.
Isn't Devlin – someone? I heard someone say that Devlin was out.
He's suspended, so you bring Rufa back, would come straight in. There'll be no issue with the swap there. So Steinman and Rufa playing in front of there.
He was injured, wasn't he, Rufa?
Yeah.
Is that why he was out? Yes, so he'll be fine now.
Yeah, he's fine now. He's well and truly over his injury. He got injured in the first Auckland game against
– Yeah, he was making his comeback at the end of before COVID hit.
So he's good now.
He played in the purple shirt game, so yeah. You won't remember the purple shirt game, so it's fine.
But in front of them, Davila, Hooper, Ball.
Davila, Hooper, Ball, and Piscopo. Probably Piscopo. It'll be a toss up between Piscopo and McCowett and.
No, it's Piscopo.
Sotirio, depending on who they. Well, it depends, because he's played all three of those and they've all got good minutes. And it's just dependent on what he wants out of that specific game. Yeah.
Given the 1:07 we saw of goals from the Wanderers game, I'm putting Piscopo on the field because he was involved in every single one of those goals in some capacity.
Fenton was one of them.
Was he? Okay, well.
Yeah.
Those free kicks, the set pieces were. I think that could be a good way to try and get a goal against Sydney.
And Piscopo banged in that one goal against. Mariners was
right,
a free
kick. Yeah, so in a game where chances are probably going to be few and far between, I imagine both teams are going to be creating heaps. Mm. You want to take your opportunities, and if you get a set piece close to the box, you want someone on the field that can make the most of it, because I guarantee you Sydney will do that to us if they get that sort of chance. So is Ninkovic still at Sydney or is he long gone?
No, he's still there.
Is he there? So there you go. So I think that Piscopo makes sense to me.
Yep. It's fair. Like, I'm not going to argue with that.
I've seen zero football this year, though, from the fans.
McCowett and Sotirio both offer completely different things.
And you can bring them off the bench.
Yep.
We've got five subs. That's the interesting.
That's the key.
And for once, we've actually got depth.
Yeah, I think we've got a squad that actually suits the five subs thing, to be honest.
I think
it gives us so many options, especially up front.
Do you know who doesn't? The Wanderers with 16 players.
Yeah, that's going to get sketchy.
Yeah, I think the issue isn't our depth for subs. I think it's our depth for start. And whilst I think, you know, Tiata Fire can come on and do a very serviceable job in the role that you need him to, if he has to start and do the 90, I'm not sure that's what we want. And the problem comes basically when we get these soft tissue injuries which are coming, and you lose your Taylors and you lose your De Veers, and we do look at someone that has to come in, and it's Liam McGing, who hasn't played at all this season. All you've got. Elliot coming in on the Callan Elliott coming in on the right because Fenton's got another soft tissue injury. That's what I think is going
shoulder,
to be
knee angle.
That's going to be the issue. They can do a job for the 20 minutes you throw them out there, and they'll run their guts out and they'll do it serviceable. But if they have to do it for 90, there's a link. Yeah.
But if they only have to do it for 190,
it's the Cam's right. I think it's the quality, it's hard. When the game gets a little bit scrappier, it's harder to kind of isolate players because everything's a little disorganised, and you can get away with that slightly lesser quality. I'm not saying that, you know, they're half the player that they're replacing. You know, they're 90% of the player they're replacing. But,
you know, it's a lot.
That 10% is a lot at that level. And you can get away with it for a little bit. But a full 90, at one stage, he's going to get exposed and there's going to be an issue. You know, a canny player who's playing a defensive position just goes, yeah, I'll take the yellow because odds on I'm going to get a tremendous amount of minutes. But someone that hasn't played a lot might hesitate for a second, let the guy go past, bangs in a goal.
Can you talk me through the other two Sydney games for the season? I think
lost away 2-1.
And we were very unlucky.
Yeah, unlucky to lose. They were the better team, but we put in a very good away performance. Mm-hmm.
We could have got a point out of that and it would have been fair.
It was within our first four games where we were still finding our feet.
Oh, and the second one was at Christmas.
It was a 2-2 draw.
And we should have won that.
Yeah.
So I remember saying that Sydney had a smash and grab and stole that as a point.
We were the better side. We scored two very good goals. Yeah.
Mullet Man.
Yeah, Ryan Grant.
Yeah.
That's the name of that podcast for this week, Mullet Man.
Mullet Man brings you.
It's better than bloody rubbing on the chinnies.
We scored two great goals that game. One of them was Uli Davila with the ball in from the right-hand side by Ball, and he's first-timed a half volley into the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And from the top of the box. It was absolutely beautiful. And then the second one was Piscopo ghosting in at the back post for a ball, again from Ball across, and he's tapped it in at the far post. So it was very, very good play.
Did we go 1-0 down and then went 2-1 up, or is it 2-0 up?
I can't remember. Yeah. I think it was us 1-0, then 1-1, then 2-1,
then Mullet Man.
Mullet Man finishes us off. So.
Ryan Grant is his name.
Yeah. Actually, Ryan Grant, who never scores.
The first game, of course he scored against us. Ryan Grant scored against us with that looping touch from the free kick, which Marinovic was. Yeah. He wasn't out of position, but it's just looped and gone into that one spot he can't reach. Right. And it was the worst.
Rankest miss
it. Oh, it was horrendous. That was the first game of the season we played, then lost 2-1. And we lost to a shit goal.
Yeah, so the two games we played against them haven't been, they've outplayed us at the park. It's been pretty tight, even with full match fitness and like that. So. And
the home team was the better team, but it was a great game and either team could have got
And
it.
Before that, we've, like previous year, we actually had good games against them too. We were one of the few teams to actually run against them. And that's, I think that that's going to, you know, a lot of young players in the team and a lot of new players in the team, that's the sort of thing that sticks in your mind. It's like, no, they don't care about history.
I will point out that our head coach was on the staff of Sydney FC for those games though.
Yes, he was.
So we learned from him, or same player set?
Well,
I don't understand what the point you're making here is.
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, the players are looking at those games going, if they've been here 1 or 2 years, they don't see Sydney as this bogey team that you know, unbeatable.
That
they see
sense.
Them as winnable games.
We don't have many people that have been here for more than 1 or 2 years.
Exactly.
More than 1 year, to be honest. Yeah. So,
and Louis probably can't remember the last time we played Sydney.
Actually, no, he played against them in the first game away this season.
I know, but
prior to him getting injured.
The number of times he falls on his head.
When did he swear? Was it this season or last season?
It was against Melbourne City.
Yeah. Yep.
Was
this season.
He's been gone since that game.
Right. Oh, okay.
That was the last time we played. Yeah.
What a way.
He was playing with a dislocated shoulder
Yeah.
I reckon he when he flipped the table, he blew his shoulder out.
Yeah. I didn't realise at the time that he was contracted to next season, and genuinely thought, because he was gone from that point, the last thing he does in a Knicks shirt is drop the F-bomb on live TV.
I mean, it's a good way to go.
If you're going to go out, honestly, it's a blaze of glory, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that was
the only thing you could have done better is, it's fucked. Fuck you, Archie.
We're all skirting around it, and Frosty...
just dropped it. Do we have VAR in these games? We must do,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
it's back into it. So everything's normal apart from the subs. Do we have the drinks breaks that the other leagues have?
Well, no, I need to. The other leagues have got the drinks breaks because they're now into their summer, whereas we're into our winter.
No.
It's the hydration. Fine. It's the same reason for the five subs, isn't it?
It's match
fitness.
It's a match fitness thing. Yeah.
But you don't have drinks breaks at the start of every season. Why? This seems odd to me. So I'm sorry.
Because
it's the accumulation of games, I think.
It was one of the things that FIFA brought in that package of rule changes for this reason. So I think it's to try and prevent that soft tissue stuff and that kind of thing. It's because we're going straight back into it with
multiple, like two games a week. Sort of.
Rather than one game week off, one game week off.
Yeah, and no like off-season building into it, really. So. Yeah.
Well, we've had a long off-season building.
Not every team has. Like England, for example, had much less of an off-season than we did coming into it.
And, you know, one game in preparation isn't an off-season. It's just a roll straight in hard.
But I think that those are the two rule changes we get from it. Nothing else?
No, it's just five subs, but only three substitution rounds.
Yeah.
So you do it at once.
Yeah.
And halftime. You can only stop the clock three times.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, but you can still make subs.
I like that because that means you're not delaying the game. Tactical subs, a sub every 2 minutes from the 80th to the 90th minute. Like,
exactly.
There's not a thing. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. I just have no idea. I can't make a prediction. I'm not going to make a prediction because I have absolutely no idea what we're going to see on Friday night.
It's going to be scratchy as hell.
Be a scratchy draw, to be honest.
I'm going
to
say Sydney 2-1. I genuinely don't know, though. Honestly, could go. I just feel they're at home. They've been living at home. They've had no time at all in the last 3 and 4 months where they've had to have time away from their families, isolating, whatever. They've just been at home, and they're still at home.
You do know that saying, I genuinely don't know, means that if I do win 2-1, you get no bragging rights, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep, good.
I'm okay.
For me, it just
But I'm going to brag anyway because it's me.
For me, it just comes down to how well the teams that are in – well, obviously the Knicks in this game, how well those teams in quarantine and in camp are bonding. Mm. I mean, that could be a massive unifying force, or it could just tear any team apart. Mm. And I think that will be the kind of difference between Sydney, who are basically the control group for this, where they're the only team, Sydney and Wanderers, who aren't
Wanderers, they were spanked by other things.
Yeah, because they're living at home with their mums. Mm. So, you know, Sydney are kind of that control group where they're just going to be the same as usual, and we either we're going to be great or we're going to be really scratchy.
Yep. Hard to know. Hard to know. I'll take any result this weekend, to be fair. I don't think this is the game that matters. I still say we only need to get that one win. If we get to 40 points and guarantee the playoffs, because everything is away from home anyway, it genuinely doesn't matter. So
that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, we can't earn a home game. We don't have time to move it over here and play it. Mm. So even if we got a home grand final and they said, okay, we'll wait for 2 weeks, that puts us into September, so we're screwed, we're done. So we cannot do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't really matter. As long as we get to 40 points and make the playoffs, we can beat anybody on our day.
That's if there's playoffs.
That's if we get beyond Friday.
But yeah, I guess that's
it here.
Yeah, that playoffs, the next five games or whatever we do, become like a little, that's our preseason for the little tournament we play in finals football. Which is a sad way to look at it, but it's the situation that we found ourselves in. Well, so,
like I said, it's just got to treat it like weather and just go, we assume that it's on until we get told it's off.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything else to talk about. We don't have Dave here waxing lyrical about things, so if there's nothing else pressing that anybody wants to discuss, we could wrap up early. Let's do that. Very good, team.
Sweet.
Boshed it out.
That seems very odd.
What?
For us to finish quite so quickly.
Well, it's because I'm here managing the way that you talk. You could have talked about bloody European football for 10, 12 minutes.
Only he did a tangent into that, eh?
No. So, yes, I put that down to my hosting.
We could talk about the Man City decision. That has ramifications.
He has no idea what the hell that is.
I know what it is. I'm waiting for you to discuss it. If you don't want to listen, if you don't want to listen, yes, to Man City, you can switch off here. But otherwise, Frosty, it's a travesty.
Yeah, it's travesty.
And Cam thinks it's a travesty as well. But I have a vested interest yeah. So it's, you know, irrelevant.
I have a vested interest too. They'll start buying Bayern players because Guardiola's going, actually, we did okay with them. I'll pinch them.
They'll literally be buying everybody because
they've got 150 million
limited wealth,
yeah, which isn't all that much when you're Man City, though.
Yeah, but it's the new transfer market. Like, what clubs are going to be spending more than million on a player?
They've also got 50 mil from Sané.
Yeah, exactly.
They're backed by a state which has unlimited billions of dollars. They will spend billions of dollars building the squad and win everything because they're basically given free rein to do so. Financial fair play is gone and it's going to ruin football.
Mm. It already has.
Sorry, Pat.
Well, sorry, Pat, football being ruined.
Sorry, you look so bored right now.
As a tangent back to the A-League, someone has actually been suggesting for the English Premier League that they should have a salary cap. Obviously, it would be monstrous, but...
Sure, but their salary caps will be somewhere in the vicinity of
$1 billion.
$50, $60 million a year plus for some of them. Even the lower ones, the lower teams average like in the millions of pounds per player. So that would just be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, just the scale is different. It's just that it's not going to be any different to the A-League realistically.
Honestly, the football in general worldwide is going to change significantly with COVID. It's going to, like, the money has dried up, as it showed by them having to furlough players from big clubs and furlough every staff member at these tiny clubs and cancelling leagues because they can't get people in, so they have no revenue coming through. It's just shown that the current models are unsustainable. So financially, everything is going to change so much.
Well, it's like everything else in the world. Like, it's those things were already unsustainable before, but it's really highlighted it. Like,
just needed that big shock event that no one could accurately predict to tip it over the edge. We all knew it was going to happen. It was a case of when, not if.
Yeah, and if you
there we are.
If you didn't think it was going to happen, you probably weren't thinking about it. Yeah. But it's been the same with a lot of things. Political and sustainability, all those things. It's been really highlighted by this global pandemic that the way that we do things is not a sustainable way to live. And football is in that, it's in that bubble. It's the web bubble type thing rather than the bubble of what we call bubbles now. But
you said political. It makes me laugh at the moment.
We're not going there. We should wrap up now, Pat.
Well, I was trying to work out
Patreon content. Phoenix City takes on New Zealand politics.
Well, there we go. Let's do that for Patreon. If you want to listen to us talk about the National Party, Tune in on our Patreon and we'll have a little something. I don't know what it's going to be, but we'll have something for you.
Party it is.
Yeah,
the
right.
National party. Hell, I was going with that.
So let's wrap up there. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the football. Get along to a pub if you want to. I think the Phoenix are doing something down at the Churchill. Jump on their website if you want more details for that.
Come say hi if you come. I'll be there.
Cam will be there. But yeah, just get out, watch the football, enjoy it, because we don't know how long it's going to last. So thank you for listening and goodbye.
Mullet Man brings you.
Watch it on your couch brings you. $15 to go to a pub brings you.
The one game of football for the rest of the year brings you.
6 weeks of isolation for one game of football brings you.
Imbigan brings you.
Listeners will have no idea what that means, but you said it in synchronicity.